بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, today this is our 18th session, session number 18, reading from Lessons in Arabic Language, Book 3, Level 3, yani the first half of Book 3 is Level 3, Dr. Fa Abdul Rahim, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. Today, inshallah, we intend, by the permission of Allah, to begin a new lesson, that is lesson number 8. And before we begin that lesson, I just want to say quickly that we had initially intended, with the change in time, with daylight savings time, we had initially intended to continue with this class after the Asr prayer. But after thinking about it and having some feedback from some of the students concerning the lateness of the hour, with the hour being, the Asr prayer being an hour later, and then especially in consideration of the fact that Ramadan is coming, and that time would be difficult for most of us to be engaged in the class during Ramadan, up until Maghrib prayer. So in light of those factors, we decided to combine the two classes between Dhuhr and Asr, which limits our time a little bit. Instead of an hour and a half, we only have an hour and 15 minutes. But inshallah, we will be starting this class at 3:15 until 4:30. Yani, in the next couple of days and in the week or so, the time for the Asr prayer is going to be delayed. It's going to get later, so we're going to have a little bit more time. So right now we have from 3:15 to 4:30. That's going to be an hour and 15 minutes. And next week, inshallah, will be a little bit more than an hour and 15 minutes. And then the following week, in maybe 2 weeks or so, we'll be getting a full hour and a half again. Okay, so for now, we're just going to work with this. A little bit of shortage of time, do the best that we can with it in order to eliminate a greater, a more difficult situation of having the class so late now after Asr, with Asr being an hour later than it was originally, and especially with Ramadan coming up, and we'll be going up until the time of Maghrib, which would have been a difficult time for everyone, especially for those who have to prepare food in Ramadan. Okay, so that being said, inshallah, let's get started immediately. Our time is short, so we want to get into this, and the lesson that we have is not a long lesson. It's really the core of the lesson is rules and matters related to things that are definite, nouns that are definite and nouns that are indefinite, al-ma'rifa and al-nakira. And a lot of this we already know, but it's here, it's being combined in one lesson so that we can see everything together. So it's sort of a summary of everything that we've already studied related to nouns, when they are definite or indefinite. There's one other secondary point here, which is relatively brief, but the main core of the lesson is trying to know what are the categories of nouns which are ma'rifa, which are definite. Okay, so there are seven categories of nouns which are definite, and we need to know all of them. We probably already know all of them. Maybe only the last of them, the seventh, might be something that we have to examine a little bit more carefully. Otherwise, we're familiar with the other matters that we're going to be talking about in this lesson in terms of the categories of nouns. We've already looked at pronouns and demonstrative pronouns and relative pronouns and things like this. So we're already familiar with those things. Okay, so this may be the seventh one, al-nakira al-maqsuda bin nida. That might be the only one that we have to look at a little bit more carefully. Okay, so let's get started immediately. Like today, what we want to do is we want to look at the English key, which is on page 32, 33, and the top of 34. And then after we go through that and discuss it and examine what is there, we're going to look at the Arabic text on page 69 and 70, trying to identify the seven categories of nouns that are definite. And then we'll check your answers to the exercises, any of the exercises. The numbering of the exercise in this lesson is a little bit strange, so that's why I wrote it out in detail, in terms of what we're going to be going through today, exercise number one, and then exercise number two, and then all the exercises on page 72, and then the remaining exercises 3 to 7 on page 72 and 73. I wrote it out in detail because the numbering is a little bit strange for this lesson. All right, so let's get started with the English key. The English key for lesson 8, page 32, says, in this lesson we learn the following. 2 points. The first one is the core of the lesson. Number one, the ma'rifa, definite, and the nakira, indefinite. That is, the definite ma'rifa, an indefinite noun, a nakira. Nouns that are definite and indefinite. Read this passage. Amen. Amen. This is obviously indefinite, right? A man came to me and said that he was hungry. A man came to me and said that he was hungry. He, that man, he was a stranger. I gave the man. Now it became definite, right? Because he's been mentioned before. He's a man who came to me. He said that he was hungry. He was a stranger. Now we know something about this man. I gave the man who came to me who said he was hungry, that was a stranger. I gave the man some money. Okay, in this brief passage, a man is indefinite. A man came to me because he is unknown to you and to your listener. But the man is definite because he has already been mentioned. He has become known now. We already talked about him. We said he came, he said he was hungry, I gave him some money. So now we know him. So now we refer to him as the man. Yani the man who came, the man who said he was hungry, the man who said who we gave some food to or some money to. Probably better to give him some food, right, instead of money. In this day and time, in this place, right? In Arabic, the following seven categories of nouns are definite. In Arabic, the following seven categories of nouns are definite. The first one, pronouns like ana, anta, huwa. Okay, these are personal pronouns, but also yani possessive pronouns like kitabuka, kitabuhu, kitabuha also are included in this first category. Pronouns, whether they're personal pronouns, possessive pronouns, or even pronouns that are dhamair and nasb, pronouns that are in the position where they should be mansub, like the object of a verb. Like you say, قَتَلُوهُ, they killed him. This who, which is the object of the verb, in the position where it should be mansub, all of these types of pronouns, whether they're connected pronouns or unconnected pronouns, whether they're personal pronouns, yani pronouns of raf, or pronouns of nasb, or pronouns of jar, yani when they're مُضَافِ إِلَيْكَ, like كِتَابُهُ, okay? Whatever type of pronoun, pronouns are all definite. Number two. Al-alam, proper nouns like Ahmed, Ahmadu, Al-Hindu, Mecca. So these are proper nouns. Ahmed is the name of a person. Al-Hind is the name of a country. Mecca is the name of a city. These are proper nouns. All proper nouns are definite. So now we have pronouns and we have proper nouns. Al-Dhamir and Al-alam. Number three. Ismu al-ishara. Ismu al-ishara. Yani demonstrative pronouns. Like hadha, thalika, ulaika. Demonstrative pronouns. Whether for those which things which are near hadha or those which are far, thalika. Whether it is singular, like hadha and thalika, or plural, like ulaika. Whether it's masculine or feminine. Yani hadha or hadhihi, thalika or tilka. Demonstrative pronouns. Masculine, feminine, singular, plural, and even dual. Yani they are all definite. Ism ishara. Number four. Al ismu al mawsulu. The relative pronoun. Relative pronouns like alladhi, alladhina, allati, ma, and men. Yani ma, when it's used as a relative pronoun, to mean alladhi, and men, when it's used as a relative pronoun, to mean alladhi, is also included. Okay, ma, we could mean yani the ma of istifham, ma hadha. We don't mean that ma. We mean ma, yani if somebody said, akulu ma ta'akulu. I eat what you will eat. Meaning, akulu alladhi ta'akulu. So that ma and men as well, yani they're also relative pronouns. Whether singular, alladhi, plural, alladhina, masculine or feminine. Alladhi or allati, relative pronouns are all definite. Yani ma'arifa. Number five. Al-muhalla bi-alif lam. Yani nouns that have connected to them, alif lam, or are adorned or decorated with alif lam. Yani nouns that have alif lam. Okay, a noun with the article, the definite article, al, like al-kitabu, al-rajulu. Okay, nouns that have alif lam are definite. Now, so far we have five categories, right? Pronouns, proper nouns, demonstrative pronouns and relative pronouns.
So we have proper nouns and we have three types of pronouns. Demonstrative pronouns, relative pronouns, and pronouns in general, whether they are personal pronouns or possessive pronouns or any pronouns that are the object of a verb. So, pronouns, proper nouns, demonstrative pronouns, relative pronouns, and words that have alif lam. That's five categories. The sixth category is related to those five. Number six is al-mudaf ila ma'arifatin. Yani a noun with a definite noun as its mudaf ilayhi. Yani a noun that is connected in idafa to a definite noun. So if a noun is connected in idafa to a definite noun, it makes that noun. We learned this in book one. We learned this in book one. When we studied idafa, chapter number 5 of book 1, we said that a noun that's in idafa, the first part of the idafa construction, the mudaf, yani it never takes alif lam or tanween. So how does it become definite or indefinite? Depending on the word that is connected to, the mudaf ilayh. If the mudaf ilayh is definite, that mudaf becomes definite. If the mudaf ilayh is indefinite, the mudaf is indefinite. So any noun that's connected in idafa to a definite noun of the previous five categories, it becomes definite. What are the previous five categories? Pronouns, proper nouns, demonstrative pronouns, relative pronouns, and nouns that have alif lam. Any noun that's connected to any of those five, it also becomes definite. That's the sixth category. Alright? So the examples they give us for number six, any nouns that are connected in idafa to a definite noun, are like kitabu hamidin. That's connected to a proper noun. The book of Hamid. Or kitabuhu, that's connected to a pronoun, his book. Or kitabu al-mudarris, the book of the teacher, is connected to a noun that has alif lam. I should have been reading from right to left. Kitabu hadha, yani kitabu hadha, the book of this one. Okay, it's connected to a ism ishara, so it's definite. Kitabu alladhi kharaja, the book of the one who, الَّذِي خَرَجَ, the one who went out. So it's kitabu is connected in idafa to الَّذِي, relative pronoun. So it became definite and kitabu al-mudarris. So here they gave us five examples. They gave us kitabuhu, connected to a pronoun. Kitabu hamid, connected to a proper noun. Kitabu hadha, connected to a demonstrative pronoun. Kitabu الَّذِي خَرَجَ, connected to a relative pronoun. And kitabu al-mudarris, connected to a noun that has alif lam. So the five categories that we started with, any noun that's connected to one of those five, as these examples, they gave us these five examples, any noun that's connected to one of them also became definite. That's category number six. Then they said after these examples, they said a noun which has an indefinite noun, as its mudaf ilayh is indefinite. As I just mentioned, we learned that in lesson 5, book 1. A noun that's connected in idafa to an indefinite noun is indefinite, like kitabu talibin, a book of a student, or a student's book. Or baytu mudarrisin. Mudarris is indefinite. So it means a house of a teacher, or a teacher's house. And it's indefinite. Alright, so those are the six categories. They're just noting here that as far as a noun that's in idafa, if it's connected to a noun as its mudaf ilayh that's definite in any of those previous five categories, it became definite. If it's connected to a noun in idafa that is indefinite, then that word will be indefinite. Okay, the last category has some yani explanation that we need to look at carefully. And it's the only one that we might not be fully familiar with. Okay, we had yani the munada previously, but we didn't go into all of this detail that we're going to see today for the munada. Okay, so the seventh category of a noun that's definite, and I think in my book it doesn't have number 7, but in any case, I wrote number 7 in my book. I think it has 6, and it was probably just a printing mistake. They had 6, and then they made this one 6 as well, but it should be 7. A munada, specified by nida, calling. A munada, yani the word that comes after ya nida, like ya Ahmed, ya Rajul, ya Walad, the munada that comes after ya nida, that's specified by nida, yani intended. For example, ya rajulu, o man. Ya waladu, o boy. Note that rajulun and waladun are indefinite. A man or a boy. But they have become definite because they are the ones meant by the caller. Because they are the one meant by the caller, intended by the caller, specified by the caller. Yani if the person who's calling ya rajulu is intending a particular rajul, not just anybody, but he's talking to somebody specifically, or a particular boy. Like in the text of this book we have, yani, in the text for this lesson, we'll see that the store owner says to his son, ya waladu. When he says ya waladu, he doesn't mean any walad. He means his son. He's talking to his son. So that means he intends a specific person. He means, when he says ya waladu, even though walad is indefinite, he means a particular walad. In that case, the munada, when it is indefinite, but a particular specific person is intended by that indefinite noun, it becomes definite. Because now it's not indefinite anymore. He doesn't mean any boy or any man. He means a particular boy or a particular man. Therefore, that's what makes it definite. I mean, that's the difference between something being definite and indefinite. Definite, you're talking about something particular, specific. Indefinite, you mean any one of them. Alright? So when the indefinite noun, nakira, when it is specified by nida, yani, maqsood bin nida, the munada that's specified by nida, like ya rajulu, when he's talking to a particular man when he's saying that, or ya waladu, when he's talking to a particular boy when he says that, even though rajulun and waladun are indefinite, they become definite because they are the ones meant by the caller. They are the ones intended by the caller. If, however, an indefinite noun is not specified, is not intended by the caller, it remains indefinite, even after being munada. As in the example of a blind man saying, Ya rajulan khudh biyadi, O man, hold my hand or take my hand. It is obvious that he does not mean a particular person. He doesn't mean a particular man. He's blind. He's just calling out to any man, anybody who's around here, help me, take my hand and lead me. Alright? So the indefinite noun, nakira, when it is munada, if a particular man or boy or person is intended, it becomes definite. If no particular person is meant, but rather any man, any boy, any girl is intended, then it remains indefinite. And in that case, yani, it's not going to take a single dhamma. Rather, it's going to take tanween. It's going to remain with the tanween, showing that it's indefinite, and it's going to be mansub, yani with fathatain. It's going to be mansub. All right. So let's just look at this note carefully. It says, note that rajulun and waladun are indefinite, but they become definite because they are the ones meant. Yani, if they are the ones meant or intended by the person who's calling out, ya waladu, ya rajulu, if a specific walad or rajul is intended, then it becomes definite. On the other hand, if, however, an indefinite noun is not specified, yani, a particular person is not intended by the caller, it remains indefinite even after being munada. As in the case of a blind man saying, Ya rajulan khudh biyadi, O man, hold my hand, take my hand. It is obvious that he doesn't mean any particular person. He's just calling out to anybody to help him. Alright? So in that case, notice that when it is not specified by nida, it's not al-maqsooda bin nida, no particular person is intended, it remains indefinite and it keeps its tanween. And it is in the case of being mansub with fatha. Alright? Ya rajulan khudh biyadi. It goes on to say another note. Note that ya rajulu, the munada, in ya rajulu, yani the munada, the nakira that's specified by nida, is mabniyun and has dhamma, single dhamma ending. Wa rajulan, ya rajulan, when it's not specified by nida, not maqsood bin nida, it is mansoob. Alright, note that. Ya rajulu. In ya rajulu, the munada is mabniyun ala dhamma. Single dhamma. While in Ya Rajulan, it is mansub. What is the difference? Ya Rajulu is the nakira maqsood bin nida, the nakira that's specified by nida. In Ya Rajulan, it's the nakira غير مقصود بالنداء. It's not intended by nida. It's not a specific person. So when a specific person is intended, then that nakira, indefinite noun, becomes definite, and its ruling is that it's مبنيٌ على الضمة. And it's fixed on dhamma, a single dhamma. It loses tanween because now it becomes definite. Whereas if a particular specific person is not intended, it remains indefinite and it's mansub. Okay, so there are five types of munada. We'll look at them in the future, but for now we'll just say that there are five types. Two types we've seen previously, and the second of them we're explaining now. That is, when the munada is a alam, a proper noun, Ya Ahmed, Ya Mahmood. When it's a proper noun, it's mabniyun ala dhamma. Proper nouns are all definite, so it doesn't take tanween. It's mabniyun ala dhamma. And when it's a nakira, al-maqsood bin nida, it's also mabniyun ala dhamma. So these two types of the five are mabniyun ala dhamma. A proper noun, that's the munada, or an indefinite noun, that's the munada, but is specified by nida, is intended by the caller. A specific person is intended. Both of them are mabniyun ala dhamma. If you go back to book one, I'm not sure exactly what lesson the munada came in, but in any case, yani we said that the munada is mabniyun ala dhamma. That is, if it's a proper noun or if it's a indefinite noun that's specified by nida. The other three types of munada, which we'll see in the future, we saw one of them. One of them is the munada that's mudaf. When the munada is mudaf, we said it's mansub. And when it's غير مقصود بالنداء, يعني a nakira, indefinite noun that's not intended by the call, it's also mansub, as we see here. Ya rajulan. Alright, so we'll look at that in detail, all the other types, but for now, يعني the proper noun when it's munada, it's mabniyun ala dhamma, single dhamma, no tanween. And when an indefinite noun is maqsood bin nida, intended by the caller, specified by the caller, a particular person is intended, it's also mabniyun ala dhamma, a single dhamma, it loses its tanween. Okay, and we've also studied in the past that when the munada is mudaf in an idafa construction like Abdullah, you say Ya Abdullah, then it's mansoob. So now we see three types of munada, we'll see the others in the future, inshallah. Yani the ghayra maqsood bin nida and the shibha. يعني also طيب let's close this particular first point. يعني let's close this particular issue with the last statement. They said a nakira becomes a ma'arifa by being munada, as we have seen. A nakira, indefinite noun, becomes definite ma'arifa if it is munada, whereas a ma'arifa is not affected. A ma'rifa is not affected by nida. That is, if a word is already ma'rifa, then the fact of it being munada doesn't change it. But the indefinite noun, if it's maqsood bin nida, it becomes definite. So an indefinite noun can become definite because of munada if it is maqsood bin nida, the one that is intended or specified by the caller. As far as a word that's already definite, then it doesn't change it. It's not affected by nida. For example, bilalun is already ma'rifa, definite, and it remains so after Ya, Ya Bilalu. And it loses the tanween, but it doesn't change from anything. It's already definite, it remains definite. Okay, the second point of this lesson, Ta'ala. Ta'ala means come. This verb is used only in the Amr. It's only used as a fi'l Amr. In the Madi and the Mudari, if you need to tell somebody to come, if you need to use the verb to come in the past tense or present tense, you don't use ta'ala. But rather, if you need a past tense verb madi or a present tense verb mudari to come, then the verbs ja'a yaji'u or ata ya'ti are used. So these are two verbs that both mean to come. If you need to use the verb to come in the past tense or present tense, you use ja'a yaji'u to come, or ata ya'ati, which means to come, both of them. These are used. In the Amr, we can use Yani Ta'ala, but not in the past tense or the present tense. For example, we can say Ja'ani, past tense, right? Ja'ani Bilalun Amsi. Bilal came to me yesterday. Or we can say La ta'tini ghadan, don't come to me today, mudari, right? La ta'tini. Here the original verb is ta'ti, right? But because of la and na here, it makes it majzum, so it became ta'ti, shorten the vowel. La ta'tini ghadan, don't come to me tomorrow. So if we need to use the verb to come in the past tense or in the present tense, we use ata ya'ti or ja'a yaji'u. I'm turning the page to 34. This point continues. It says, here is ta'ala isnadid to the other pronouns. Yani ta'ala, this is the second person, masculine singular. And here we're going to look at the other second person pronouns, yani the masculine plural, feminine singular, feminine plural, and the dual as well. Alright, so I don't know where we're starting from. I guess we'll start with yani the left side because that's the second person masculine plural. Ta'alaw ya ikhwanu. That's second person, masculine plural command form. Ta'alaw. O brothers, come. Second person, feminine singular. Ta'alay ya khadijatu. Come, O Khadija. Second person, feminine singular. Ta'alay. And then they gave us the dual. Ta'alayna. I'm sorry, the plural. Second person, feminine plural. Ta'alayna ya akhwatu. O sisters, all of you, come. Ta'alay, singular, feminine singular. Ta'alayna, with noon and niswa on the end, the feminine, second person, feminine plural. Then they gave us the dual, which is used for masculine and feminine dual, second person, masculine dual, and second person, feminine dual. It's the same form of the verb. Ta'alaya. Ta'alaya ya waladani or ya bintani. Yani dual masculine, dual feminine. Yani ta'alaya. Yani it's from ta'alayani, but the noon is omitted. Yani in the command form, as is omitted in the other command forms. Alright. The verb ta'ala is, however, used in the madi and the mudari in the sense of he went up. Not to tell somebody to come, but rather, if you wanted to describe in the past tense or the present tense that he ascended, he went up, he rose, he was exalted, then you can use, the verb ta'ala in the past tense and the present tense, but with the meaning of he went up, or he rose, or he is going up, or he is rising. The amr ta'ala originally meant come up, ascend, but then it came to mean only come. So as the meaning of come, we only use ta'ala in the command form. But of the meaning of he went up or he rose, like we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani Allah, the one who is exalted, who is high, who is elevated, who is sublime. Alright? So, in any case, what is important here, and this particular second point, is to know that the verb ta'ala is only used, yani is generally used, in the fi'l amr form, to mean to come. But as far as to go up or to rise or to be exalted, then we can use it in the past tense and in the present tense form, but with that meaning. But for as the meaning just to come, then we only use it in the fi'l amr form. And if we want to use yani that meaning, come, to come, not to go up, but to come, in the past tense or present tense, then we use ata ya'ati or ja'a yaji'u. Okay, this is the end of what we wanted to say here. There are some footnotes here. So I'm just going to look at those footnotes. I think, are these footnotes related to this? The footnote is related to the instructions. Anyway, you're just going to just look at these words quickly. On the bottom of page 34, it says in the footnote, number one, the word al-idhafa. The word al-idhafa. Means making the word mudaf, means putting something in an idafa construction. Of course, you have to use a suitable mudaf ilayhi with it. Okay, so idafa means to put something in idafa construction. The word tahliya literally means decorating or adorning. تحليته الكلمة بألف لام means يعني تحلية, decorating or adorning الكلمة, the word, with the article ألف لام, the definite article ألف لام. Decorating with, meaning adding ألف لام to it. That is, using ألف لام with the word. The word with the article ألف لام, that word that has ألف لام attached to it or is decorated or adorned with ألف لام, is called المحلى. المحلى بألف لام, يعني decorated or adorned with ألف لام. يعني what is intended is that the word that has attached or prefixed to it ألف لام is called المحلى بألف لام. The word that has been decorated or adorned or has attached prefix to it ألف لام. The last note says the word النِّدَاء means calling. In grammar it means using يَا. يعني النِّدَاء means when you use يَا before word, making that word مُنَادَى. When you use يَا with a noun, for example, يَا بِلَالُ. This is what we mean by النِّدَاء. يعني using يَا النِّدَاء with a noun to call someone or to get their attention. Okay, those are the notes that we had. And now we're going to go to the Arabic text. And then after that we'll look at the exercises. Okay, the Arabic text is only about a page and a little more than a half. And what we're going to be doing as we're reading is, number one, practicing our reading, number two, practicing our comprehension, number three, and really, really importantly, trying to identify the new grammar for this lesson. So the new grammar for this lesson is primarily related to the different seven types of nouns that are definite. Okay, and we said, and we're going to read in the exercises for this lesson an explanation of that in Arabic, but we said from the English key that there are pronouns, proper nouns, demonstrative pronouns like hadha and hadhihi, relative pronouns like alladhi and allati, and any noun that has attached to it alif lam, al-muhal bi alif lam, and then any noun that's connected to these five categories, connected to pronouns, proper nouns, demonstrative pronouns, relative pronouns, or nouns that have alif lam. That's category number six. And category number seven is the indefinite noun, and nakira, that is yani intended by nida, al-maqsuda bin nida. We're going to read this in Arabic a little bit later, but for now I just want us to remember that there are seven categories that we're looking for as we read through this text. Okay, so starting on page 69, lesson number 8, the Arabic text, Al-Mushtari wa Sahib al-Mahal. Mushtari is the purchaser, the one who's buying something. Sahib al-Mahal is the one who owns the shop, yani the store, the shop owner. Alright, so there's going to be a discussion between them, and also the son of the shop owner also comes in briefly, right? So we have this discussion taking place. The mushtari, the person who came to purchase something. And I also numbered this text on page 69 from 1 through 17. I numbered every single line, even if it's only one word in that line. Okay, and then on page 70, I continued with that numbering, 18 to 28. So there's actually 28 lines. Even if some lines only have one word, like la, I numbered that as a line, line 14. Alright, so I numbered on the first page 1 through 17, the second page 18 through 28, and that's because when we go back to the text, yani just to know where we're at, I just numbered them. So you might want to number them if you haven't already numbered them, and you number them as we go along. Okay, so the first line, and I'm not going to read the numbers, but yani if necessary, I have numbered them just so that we can have an easy reference. Al-Mushtari, the one who is purchasing, says, Aladayka aqlamun. Do you have pens? So aklamun is an indefinite noun. It has tanween. And by the way, ladayka, the calf, that's a pronoun, so that's definite, right? Sahibul Mahal says, Naam, ladayna aklamu hibrin. Aklamu hibrin. This is an idafa connected to a word that's indefinite. So aklamu here is indefinite because it's connected to hibrin. Naam, ladayna aklamu hibrin. Wa aklamun jafatun. Yes, we have pens, yani ink pens, and we have pens that are dry pens or pencils. Yani aqlamu hibran, pens that use ink, wa aqlamun jafatun, yani pens that are dry pens, not ink pens, yani lead pencils. So here we have yani aqlamu hibran is indefinite. And then aqlamun is also indefinite. It's not an idafa here. The We also have ladena, the pronoun na. The purchaser says, a'tini dhaka, yushiru ila qalamin. He says, give me that one. And he is pointing to a pen. Qalamin is indefinite. Dhaka is a demonstrative pronoun, it's definite. And the ya al-mutakallamin a'tini is also a pronoun, it's definite. Sahib al-mahal, the store owner says, hadha, yani this one. And the purchaser says, la. La, not that one. Alladhi fawqahu. Yani that which, the one which is above it. Not that one. No. La. Alladhi fawqahu. No. Alladhi, the one which is above it. Alladhi is a relative pronoun, so it's definite. And hu and fawqahu is also a damir, so it's definite. In line 6, Sahib al-Mahal says, hadha. Then he says, hadha again, this one. And the purchaser says, na'am, yes. And after a pause, he says, atini qalama rasasi. Give me a lead pencil. Qalama rasasi. Rasas is lead. Give me a lead pencil. Here, yani qalama is connected in idafa to rasasin. Qalama rasasin, which is indefinite. So qalam here is indefinite. And the ya'al mutakallam in a'tini is a pronoun. It's definite. In line number 8, hadha qalamu rasasin. This is a lead pencil. Again, qalam is connected in idafa to an indefinite noun, so it's indefinite. Hadha is ism ishara, it's definite. The purchaser says, atini daftaran. Give me a daftar. And so, ya al-mutakallam, wherever we see it, we know that that's a pronoun, so it's definite. In atini, daftaran is indefinite. The store owner says, ad-dafatiru anwa'un. مختلفتون. The voweling in my book here is messed up, but it should be مختلفتون. مختلفتون. Should be مختلفتون. الدفاتر أنواع مختلفتون. أي with فتة. أي نوع تريد. يعني the daftars of different types. أنواع مختلفة. Which type do you want? Here الدفاتر is definite as ألف لام. And wa'an is indefinite. And naw'in is also indefinite. Line 11, the mushtari says, uridu daftaran dha waraqin musattarin ala ghilafihi qaritatu al-alami al-islami. He says, I want a daftar dha waraqin musattarin, that has lined paper, ruled paper. على غلافه, and on its cover has قريطة العالم الإسلامي, and has on its cover a map of the Islamic world. So دفترا is indefinite, ورق is indefinite, the غلاف is definite because it's connected in إضافه to a pronoun he, it's connected to the pronoun he, so غلاف becomes definite. قريطة is definite because it's connected to al-alam, which has alif lam. Naam. Line 13, the store owner says, aturidu shay'an akhara. Do you want anything else? Shay'an is indefinite. 14, al-mushtari says, la. 15, sahib al-mahal, the owner of the store, said, he is yunadi ibnahu. He's calling out to his son. He's calling out to his son, a particular person. He says, Ya waladu. So even though waladun originally is indefinite, because it's the munada that is al-maqsuda bin nida, intended by the caller, it became definite. Alright? So, ibna, yunada ibnahu. Ibna is definite because it's connected in idhafa to hu. And waladu is definite because it's the munada that is intended by the caller. He says, Ya waladu, dha'a hadhihi al-ashya'a fi kisin. Put these things in a bag. And hadhi ism ishara is definite. Al-ashya alif lam is definite. Kisan is indefinite. And then he says, lil mushtari, he says to the person who is purchasing, atilmidhun anta. Are you a student? Tilmidhun is indefinite. Anta is a dhamir, it's definite. The mushtari says, na'am, yes, I am. Yani meaning, yes, I am a student. Turning to page 70. The last line on page 69 was line 17 that I numbered. This line will be line 18. The owner of the store says, Masmuka. What is your name? So ismu here is definite because it's connected to the dhamir ka. Ka is a pronoun, it's definite, so ismu becomes definite. The purchaser says, ismi malikun. My name is Malik. Here, ism again is definite because it's connected to a pronoun, ya al-mutakallam, and Malik is definite because what? It's a proper noun, alam, ism alam. And it's also ism, yani, it's also a noun on the pattern of fa'il, malikun. Yani, that's derived from a triliteral verb. The owner of the store in line 20 says, fi ayyi madrasatin tadrusu, yani, in which school do you study? Yani, here, madrasatin is indefinite. Malik says, fi madrasati Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu al-thanawiyyata. In some of the books, the words Ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu are not mentioned. Okay? In some books, it's not mentioned. In my book, it has Umara ibn al-Khattabi radiallahu anhu al-thanawiyyah. So Malik says, what school do you study? Malik says, in the school, which is named Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu al-thanawiyyah. Yani the high school named after Umar ibn al-Khattab. Or Madrasatu Umar al-Thanawiyyah. Yani the high school, yani Umar high school. Madrasati here is definite because it's connected in idafa to Umar. And Umar is a proper noun, so it's definite. Al-Thanawiyyah has alif lam, it's definite. In line 22, in brackets it says, it's telling us what's happening here. Yusallimu lahu al-waladu al-ashya'a fi kisin. Wayadfa'u malikun qimataha wayakhruju. So at this point, after he said what school he's in, at that moment, yusallimu lahu al-waladu. The boy, the son of the store owner, is yusallimu lahu, is giving him, turning over to him the things which he purchased fi kisin, in a bag. وَيَدْفَعُ مَالِكٌ And Malik is paying for قِيمَتَهَا. He is giving the amount that is due. قِيمَة, yani the value of something, yani what it cost for those things. He's giving قِيمَتَهَا, he's giving the money, and وَيَخْرُجُ, and he's going out of the store. Okay, in this sentence, الْوَلَدُ is definite, alif lam. الْأَشْيَاء also has alif lam. قِيسٍ is indefinite. مَالِكٌ is a proper noun, it's definite. قِيمَة, yani is definite because it's connected in idafa to ha, pronoun. And in line 23, the owner of the store calls out, Ya Maliku, O Malik, Ta'ala, come here. Hadhihi lawhatun jamilatun, tahwi ayatin wa ahaditha, hiya hadiyatun laka. O Malik, come. This is a lawha, poster, jamila, beautiful poster. Tahwi, it contains or includes within it ayat, verses of the Quran, wa ahadith, and ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hiya hadiyatun laka. It is a gift for you. Yani in this sentence we have several words. Malik is a proper noun, we said. Hadhihi is ism ishara, is definite. Lawhatun is indefinite. Ayatin is indefinite. Ahadith is also indefinite. It doesn't have alif lam because it's يعني ممنوع من الصرف on the نعم ممنوع من الصرف and also here is a يعني اسم إشارة it's definite حديتون is indefinite and لك يعني the calf the pronoun is definite in line 25 Malik says شكراً what and then it says in brackets يقرأ he says شكراً and then he reads he begins to read or recite ما عندكم ينفذ وما عند الله باك يعني what يعني here this ما is ما الموصولة it means الذي it's ما الموصولة relative pronoun ما عندكم that which الذي عندكم that which is with you all the people ينفذ will cease will be exhausted will be used up it won't last forever وما عند الله باك and that which يعني الذي عند الله That which is with Allah is baqin, is remaining forever. And this baqin is actually a ism fa'il. Yani, if it had alif lam, we would say al-baqi. Yani, on the pattern of fa'il. But because it's ism mankus, it loses the ya. Yani, in al-baqi, it loses the ya when it doesn't have alif lam. From baqiya yabqa, to remain. So Bakin is an ism fa'il that's on the pattern of fa'ilu. This is from Surah An-Nahl, 16th Surah, 96 ayah. And then in the last two lines, yani is the hadith, Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi, rawahu al-Shaykhani. Yani the Muslim is the one who. Here the men, this is al-ism al-mawsul, it's a relative pronoun, like ma in the ayah, it means al-ladhi. Yani al-Muslimu man salima, al-Muslimu al-ladhi salima al-Muslimuna min lisanihi وَيَدِهِ. The Muslim is the one who, al-Muslimuna salima, salima al-Muslimuna, the Muslims are safe, min lisanihi, from his tongue. I'm very sorry, I wasn't paying that much attention to the questions. I think somebody answered that question, page 69, yeah. We were on page 69 at that time, 500 page. I'm thankful that somebody answered, mashallah, jazakum Allah khair. So now we're on page 70. I guess you're with us by now. I didn't look at the screen one time today. Tayyib. So on the bottom, on the near the end of the first half of page 70, the hadith al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. The Muslim is the one from whom the Muslims are safe, from his tongue and his hand. Rawahu al-Shaykhan, reported by the two sheikhs, that is Al-Bukhari and Muslim, yani muttafaqun alayh. Here I just comment just quickly, and this hadith is tremendous, very, very important. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is defining the Muslim, the true Muslim, is the one who other Muslims are safe from his tongue and his hand. Yani a Muslim should not, a real Muslim doesn't harm another Muslim, except if there is some yani situation or circumstance that the Sharia allows an exception to. The Muslim, the true Muslim, is one who doesn't harm other Muslims with their tongue. Okay, so we are reading from book 3, the Medina book 3, the first half of the book, which is level 3. Lessons in Arabic Language, book 3, Dr. Fa Abdul Rahim. Any of the Arabic text that's used for the Islamic University of Medina. So the printings, so there are various printings, Allahu A'lam, we're using the one that was online, which we have sent to the class, the one that's online, from, I think it's Islam Online. Is it Islam Online? I'm sorry. Oof, I don't remember now, it's been a long time. But in any case, if anybody needs it, okay, is it the second print? I don't know if it's the second print or what. But okay, I'm sorry. On the bottom, on this copy that we are using, it says courtesy of fatwaonline.com. And by kind permission of Sheikh Dr. Fa Abdul Rahim. So this is the PDF copy that is on, that's online on fatwaonline.com. Fatwaonline.com. Yeah, and I don't know what edition it was. I'm very, very sorry for that. I'm very sorry for that. Okay, so in any case, if anybody sends us a request to mab93044@gmail.com, then we can send you the PDF if you can't find it on your own. Alright, mab93044@gmail.com. That's the email address that we use for the classes. A person can join us if they want to and receive the homework assignments and any other materials that we may be sharing with the class by just sending us a request to this email address. Okay, the time that remains is very, very short. because today we only have an hour and 15 minutes instead of an hour and a half, so let me move on quickly. Can you please give the madi, mudari, and amr of the verb tahwi? Yani, it's from hawa. Yahwi, hawa, yahwi, ihwi. Hawa with alif maksura. Yahwi, ihwi. Okay, so that's the end of the dialogue, and we did kind of thoroughly point out yani words that were definite and indefinite as we were going through the session. and why, yani those that are definite, which of the seven categories they belong to. We may go back to that from the exercises, but at least we've covered it for now. Okay, the first exercise on page 70, bottom half of the page, tamarin, exercise number one, ajib an al-as'ilati al-atiyati, answer the following questions. These are comprehension questions from what we just read. Mal ashya allati ishtaraha malikun. What are the things which Malik has purchased? Al-ashya allati ishtaraha malikun hiya qalamun wa daftarun. And the things that he purchased were a pen and a notebook. Question number two. Aina yadrusu malikun. Where does Malik study? Yadrusu fi madrasati Umar al-Thanawiyya. In my book it has madrasati Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu al-Thanawiyya. He studies in the high school, the Umar high school. Number three. Mada hawat. And this is the verb hawa, yahwi. Mada hawat. Al-lawha. What does the poster that was given to him by the store owner, what does it contain? What does it entail? What does it include in that poster? ماذا حوت اللوحة؟ حوت اللوحة آيات حوت آيات وأحاديث. يعني it consisted or composed or included آيات, آيات from the Quran, وأحاديث and يعني sayings of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Turning to page 71, exercise number 2. This exercise is the Arabic explanation of what we read in the English key. And what we read in the English key concerning the seven categories of the nouns which are definite. We read that in the English key on page 33. This is the Arabic explanation. Okay, so it's important that we, yani, understand it from the Arabic explanation. And if we have any difficulty, then we go back to the English key. Okay, we're reading the English key, and we're discussing it in the English key to make sure that everybody follows. But our hope and our goal is that we can understand it from Arabic. Okay, so exercise number 2, top of page 71 says, Al-ismu imma ma'arifatun wa imma nakiratun. Yani the noun in Arabic is either ma'arifa, definite, or nakira, indefinite. And the nouns are either definite or indefinite. فَالْمَعْرِفَةُ So those which are definite, this is the definition of those which are definite. مَا دَلَّ عَلَى مُعَيَّنٍ That which indicates or points to مُعَيَّن Something, someone that is specific or particular. Not anyone, but a specific person. A specific book. A particular thing. Al-ma'rifa madalla ala mu'ayyan. It points to that which is specific or particular. Like ka Muhammadin. Yani it's a proper noun. It points to a particular person. Wa anta. You're speaking to somebody, you're saying anta. You're talking to a particular person. Wa hadha. You're pointing to something, saying this one right here. This particular specific one. Wa kitab. Kitab al-mudarrisi. Kitab Al-Mudarrisi, yani the book of the teacher. Kitab Al-Mudarrisi, meaning yani a particular book, the book of the teacher. Here it's definite because what is connected to? Alif Lam. Yani Anta is definite because it's a Dhamir. Hadha is definite because it's Ism Ishara. Muhammad is definite because it's Alam, a proper noun. And Al-Jami'ah, another example of a Ma'rifa is Al-Jami'ah, yani the university. Yani it has Alif Lam. So that's what makes it definite. So, the ma'rifa is that which points to something sparse, particular or specific. The nakira, wa nakiratu madalla ala ghairi mu'ayyanin. The nakira is a noun which points to that which is not specific, which is not particular. Yani it means any one of them. Ka rajulin, like a man. If somebody said, I saw a man. So he's not being specific or particular, just saw a man, any man, a man. Wa kitab, a book, kitabin, ka rajulin, wa kitabin, wa jami'atin. All of these are indefinite examples of a noun that's nakira. A man, a book, a university. Okay, so it's very important to understand the definition. Al-ma'rifa is that which points to something mu'ayyan, specific or particular. And nakira is that which points to ghayru, points to ghayri, ani ala ghayri mu'ayyan, points to that which is not particular or not specific. Aqsamu al-ma'rifati, the divisions of the nouns which are definite, ma'rifa, the divisions, there are seven. Okay, so six of them we are very familiar with, and the seventh one is the one that we spent some time with talking about from the English key. Aqsam al-ma'rifati, the divisions of al-ma'rifa. Al-ma'arif, the plural of ma'rifa, sab'atu aqsamin. Al-ma'arif, that's the plural of ma'rifa, definite nouns are seven divisions or seven types. Sab'atu aqsamin, wahiya, and they are number one, al-dhamir, number two, Al-alam, yani the proper noun. Number three, ism ishara, the demonstrative pronoun. Number four, al-ismu al-mawsool, the relative pronoun. Number five, al-muhalla bi-aliflam, the noun that has attached to it aliflam. Number six, al-mudafu ila ma'arifatin, the noun that's connected in idafa to a definite noun of the previous five types. And number seven is al-nakiratu al-maqsudatu bin-nida'i, yani the indefinite noun that is intended or specified by the call, yani somebody's calling a particular person. So even though it was originally indefinite, it became definite because that person is specifically intended. So it became yani definite because that is the one intended, al-maqsuda. Al-nakira, originally indefinite, al-maqsuda bin-nida'i, but is specified or intended by the call, therefore it became definite. Seven categories. The dhamir, pronouns of all types. Al-alam, proper nouns of all types. Ism ishara, demonstrative pronoun. Al-ism al-mawsool, relative pronouns. Al-muhalla bi-aliflam, nouns that are connected to aliflam. Al-mudafu ila ma'arifatin, that which is connected in idafa to a definite noun of the previous five types, and al-nakira al-maqsuda bin-nida, the indefinite noun that became definite because it is, yani he is, or it is the thing that is intended or specified by the call. Okay, so let's look at the examples that they gave for each of these seven categories. For the damir, number one, near the top of the page, under aqsam al-ma'rifa, for the damir it says, like, ana, wa anta, wa huwa. All of these are personal pronouns, right? Unattached pronouns. Ana, I, anta, you, huwa, he. So any attached, unattached personal pronouns are included. Likewise, attached pronouns, like the ta in the word katabtu, or katabta, or katabti. That's the fa'il, subject, do of the action, that's attached to a verb. That's also a pronoun, it's definite. وَالْوَاوْ مِنْ يَكْتُبُونَ, and the waw in the mudari verb yaktubuna, that's waw al-jama'a, that indicates yani the masculine plural. All of these yani attached and unattached pronouns, personal pronouns, yani the pronouns that are the fa'il of the verb, and other pronouns, examples they didn't give here, pronouns that are attached to prepositions or attached to idafa to nouns, all types of pronouns are definite. The second one, al-alamu, the proper noun, like Ahmadu, name of a person. Al-Hind, the name of a country. Mecca, the name of a city. These are all proper nouns. All proper nouns are definite. Number three, Ismul Ishara, the noun that's used for pointing, demonstrative pronouns, like Hatha, Thalika, Hathihi, Tilka, and Ha'ulai, meaning demonstrative pronouns that are masculine and feminine, Hatha and Hathihi. For near and far, Hatha and Thalika, and tilka for far. And ha'ulai, plural. So whether it's masculine and feminine, singular, dual, or plural, for things which are near or far, ismul ishara, asma' al-ishara, are all definite. Number four, al-ismu al-mawsulu, the relative pronoun, like alladhi, alladhina, allati, allati, wa ma, wa man al-mawsulataini. The relative pronoun that's masculine or feminine, alladhi and allati, that's singular or plural, alladhina and allati, or even the ma and the men that are used as a ism mausul. Yani the ma, there's different types of ma, right? And there's different types of men. We're not talking about the ma that's used to ask a question, or the men that's used to ask a question. Men enter. We're talking about the ma and the men that has the meaning of alladhi. Okay, and we saw some examples of them when we were reading the English key, and we'll see examples, yani, and in the dialogue, and we'll see examples in the exercises. So all, yani, asma al-ishara are definite. Singular, plural, dual, masculine, feminine, and so on. Number five, al-muhalla bi-alif lam. Those nouns that are decorated or adorned or have attached prefix to them, alif lam, like al-kitab and ar-rajul, and so on. Number six, al-mudafu ila ma'arifatin, yani any noun that's connected in idafa, yani as a mudaf, mudaf ilay, connected in idafa to a mudaf ilay that is definite. That is from the previous five categories. If it's connected to a damiya, alama, ism ishara, ism mausul, al-muhal bi alif lam, any noun that's connected to any of them is also definite. So they gave us connected to a pronoun, kitab. Yani kitab, mithlu kitabihi. Kitabihi, wa kitabi hamidin, wa kitabi hadha, wa kitabi alladhi kharaja min al-fasli qabla qalilin, wa kitabi al-mudarrisi. Like kitabihi, connected to a pronoun, kitabu hamid, connected to a proper noun, kitabu hadha, connected to ism ishara, kitab alladhi, connected to a relative pronoun, and kitab al-mudarris, connected to al-muhalla bi alif lam. So any word that's connected in idafa to any of the previous five categories of nakira, of a ma'rifa, anyone that's connected to any of them, any noun that's connected to them, is also definite. Then just a note on number six, أَمَّا الْمُضَافَ إِلَى نَكِرَةٍ فَنَكِرَةٌ. But as far as that which is connected in idafa to an indefinite noun, then it remains indefinite. For example, كِتَابِ طَالِبٍ وَبَيْتِ مُدَرِّسٍ. Kitabi talibin, yani talib is indefinite, so kitab remains indefinite, yani a book of a student or a student's book, bait mudarrisin, yani a house of a teacher or a teacher's house, yani because mudarris is indefinite, so bait is indefinite. Yani if it's connected in idafa to definite, it becomes definite. If it's connected in idafa to indefinite, it remains indefinite. Okay, the last category, and the one that we talked the most about today, and we have to really pay attention to, is an-nakiratu, a noun that is originally nakira, indefinite, but it is al-maqsudatu bin-nida. It is the one that is intended by the call. Yani, intended by the caller. I intend a specific child when I say, ya walad. I'm looking in his face, I'm pointing to him, I'm saying, ya walad. That means I'm talking about not any walad, but a particular walad. In that case, waladun becomes definite because it is intended by the caller, al-maqsudatu bin-nida, and it loses its tanween. And it becomes mabniyun ala dhamma, single dhamma. Naam, examples they gave, ya waladu, when I'm speaking to a particular walad. Ya shaykhu, when I'm speaking to a particular shaykh. Yani, there's only one sheikh in the room, for example, maybe. And I said, ya sheikh. So it's clear I'm talking to a particular, specific person. That means, even though sheikhun is originally indefinite, it becomes definite. So these are examples of an indefinite word becoming definite. إِذَا نَادَيْتَ وَلَدًا وَشَيْخًا مُؤَيِّنَيْنِ. Yani, if you are calling out to, نَادَيْتَ, a walad or a sheikh that is a particular, specific one. Okay, so when you are calling, yani, you are calling out for someone and you're using an indefinite noun, but you mean a particular person, a particular walad, a particular sheikh. In this case, it becomes ma'rifa, and it loses its tanween after ya nida, and it becomes mabniyun ala dhamma, bidun tanween. It becomes fixed on dhamma without tanween. And that's the way we saw it when we had the munada or ya nida in book one. I don't remember which chapter at the moment. It slips my mind. But in any case, we saw it like that. And we saw it being mabniyun ala dhamma. That is, of the five types of munada, two of them are mabniyun ala dhamma. That is, if the munada, the one who's being called after ya nida, if the munada is a proper noun, yani alam, if it's a proper noun, it became mabniun ala dhamma. And if it is an indefinite noun, but it is specified, yani it is intended by the caller, then that indefinite noun, it becomes definite and it's mabniun ala dhamma. The other types of munada, which we'll study in the future, are mansub. One of them we've studied, that is, if the munada is also mudaf, the first part of an idafa construction, then it also became mansub. Okay, these are the seven types. On the next page, 72, we're in lesson 8, page 72, exercise number 2. It says on the top of the page, أَمَّا النَّكِرَةُ غَيْرُ الْمَقْصُودَ بِالنِّدَى فَنَكِرَةٌ. But as far as the indefinite noun that's not intended, not specified by the nida, فَنَكِرَةٌ, then it remains indefinite. كَقَوْلِ الْأَعْمَى, like the saying of a blind man, يَا رَجُلًا خُذْ بِيَدِي, O man, any man, take my hand, take me by the hand, and he helped me, to guide me. Okay? So the nakira, that is al-maqsood bin nida, it's intended by the caller, is definite. The nakira that's not intended is غَيْرُ مَقْصُودَتِي bin nida'i, then it remains indefinite. And in that case, instead of it being mabniul ala dhamma, it is mansub and it retains its tanween. Ya rajulan. It retains its tanween, showing its indefiniteness. But it is mansub in terms of its i'rab. Wal ma'rifatu, also another note, al ma'rifatu la tataghayyaru haluha bin nida. So if a word is already ma'rifa, definite, it doesn't change its condition because of nida. Nida doesn't change its condition. Ya khalidu, for example, ya khalidu. Yani khalid is already definite. So the ya nida doesn't change anything in it. Ya hadha, hadha is ism ishara, it's already definite. So the ya nida doesn't change its hal, doesn't change it to anything else. It remains definite as it was aslan, originally. Al-ana, it says, halla hadhihi at-tamarin. Hulla, yani fi'l amr. Al-ana hulla hadhihi at-tamarin. Yani solve these exercises, or do these exercises, the exercises that follow. Alright, so now, this is part of exercise number 2. Okay, this is part of exercise number 2. In my book, it's numbered from 1 through 7. And I don't know, but I think I remember seeing in the, it is like that. In the instructions, in the English key, the exercise instructions that are in English, exercise number 2 is broke down into 2A, 2B, 2C, 2D, 2E, 2F, and 2G. So that format would have been better. Instead of numbering these exercises 1 through 7, it would have been better to identify them as part of exercise number 2, which they are. That one would have been 2A, and 2 would have been 2B, and 3, 2C, and 4, 2D, as it is in the English key, and 5, 2E, and 6, 2F, and 7, 2G. So, even though they are numbered from 5 to 7, they are really part of exercise number 2A through G. Okay, we're going to read them as 1 through 7, but in the English key, they are actually identified as A to G. Okay, so these are exercises that are part of exercise number 2, in which we have detailed Arabic explanation of... Wow, it looks like we're running out of time. Let me see. Yeah. Only a few minutes remaining. Okay. Okay, so we're not going to finish this lesson today. No problem. We're going to do some of it, and then we'll finish the rest of it in the next lesson. And in the following week, inshallah, we'll start a new lesson as well, lesson number 9. We're going to do whatever exercises we can from what remains, exercise number 2, exercises 1 through 7 or A to G on page 72. The first one says, Hati thalathata amthilatin lin nakira. Give three examples of nakira. Any words that are nakira, like kitabun, qalamun, daftarun, baytun, madrasatun, words that are nakira. 2 or 2B, Hati thalathata amthilatin li kulli qism min aqsam al-ma'rifa. Give three examples for each of the divisions of the ma'rifa. So there are 7 divisions. That means 3 examples from each of them, 21 examples. Okay, so the first division is the pronouns, like ana, anta, huwa, kitabuka, kitabuhu, and so on like this. Number 2, the alam, the proper noun, like Ahmed, like Mecca, Maryam, Khadija, proper nouns. Number 3, ism ishara, like hadha, yani demonstrative pronoun, hadha, hadhihi, thalika, tilka, ulaika, haulai. Number 4, al-ism al-mawsool, relative pronouns, like alladhi, allati, alladhina, men and mal mawsulatain. Number 5, al-muhalla bi alif lam, words that are prefixed with alif lam, like yani al-qalamu, al-daftaru, al-muslimu, al-ghurfatu, and so on, alif lam. Number 6, al-mudaf ila ma'arifa, yani words that are connected to a word that's definite, like connected to a pronoun like kitabuhu, connected to a proper noun kitabu hamid, connected to ism ishara kitabu hadha, and so on. Number 7, al-nakira al-maqsooda bin nida, yani examples of al-nakira al-maqsooda bin nida, like when a person is calling out to a boy saying ya waladu, a specific walad, ya rajulu, a specific man, ya shaykhu, a particular Sheikh, ya ustadhu, a particular ustadh, ya imamu, there's only one imam in the masjid, I'm calling him, ya imam, I mean him, ya imam. Naam, that's exercise number 2, yani examples of the 7 divisions of ma'rifa. Number 3, istakhruj min ad-dars ma fihi min an-nakira. And number 4, 2C and D is istakhruj min ad-dars ma fihi min al-ma'arif. وَذْكُرْ نَوْءَ كُلِّ وَاحِدَةٍ مِنْهَا. Okay, I mentioned each one and its type. Okay, so actually, and it's time for Asr right now, so I'm going to have to stop to go to the masjid. I would have loved to have finished this lesson, but no problem. Alhamdulillah. Next week, inshallah, we'll review quickly the 7 categories of ma'rifah, and we'll start with exercise number 4, number 3, I mean. We'll start with exercise number 3, which would be exercise number 2, C. Exercise, yani from number 2, 3, which would be A, B, and C. We're going to start with C in next week's session on page 72, and then on the bottom of the page we'll do exercise number 3, and on the next page exercise number 4, 5, 6, and 7, and then yani we'll look at the English key and the dialogue for lesson number 9. The English key and the dialogue for lesson number 9. And the English key is somewhat lengthy, and so is the dialogue. So we might not get much further than that, but we'll at least do the English key, the dialogue, and the comprehension question. The first question, which is for comprehension. And then the remaining exercises, which are quite a bit, we will take in the following session, inshallah. So we're going to do, yani, complete the exercises. Well, for homework, we already did the exercise. So for homework, what you should be doing is doing starting lesson number 9. Okay? Next session, we'll complete the exercises remaining here, and then we'll start with lesson number 9, the English key on page 35, and it goes on for a few pages to 38, then the Arabic text, which is on page 74 and 75 and 76. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. I ask Allah سبحانه وتعالى for me and for each of you that He grant us the tawfiq, the success to do whatever we do, that we do it sincerely for His sake alone, and that we do it in compliance and in accordance with the authentic sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that Allah recognize, reward, and record our good deeds, all of them, and multiply them, and that He pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes, errors, and shortcomings, and sins, and that He keep us firm, yani al-thabat, that He grant us al-thabat, firmness, steadfastness upon al-sirat al-mustaqim, until we return to Him in a condition of being pleasing to him and pleased with him. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen.